Somebody need to do a song for L.A. Straight up. Just for
let's go out to L.A. New anthem. Yeah. To live and die in L.A. California.
What you say about Los Angeles?
Still the only place for me.
It never rains in the sun.
To live and die in L.A. Where every day we try to fatten our pockets. Us niggas hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury niggas close to heart. But what's a friend now a ghost in the dark? Cold part about it, nigga got smoked by a fiend. Trying to floss on a blind.
Well, hello, hello. Hello, God bless you, community family, and welcome to Gang Talk with Sister Heron and Skip Townsend. And as you can see tonight, there's somebody different in Skip's seat, but we always blessed to have Marcus join us because he's a co-host in training, and he's a very special man, and we adore him, and happy that he's back with us. And so, Marcus, welcome.
Hello, and thank you, I'm always happy to be here, you know, it's always fun for me. I always get something to learn and laugh about and take home with me, so.
Yeah, it is good conversation because we're all in it together.
Right.
That's the important part. And I just want to thank our guest that came last week because that was a very enlightening conversation with the men and the brotherhood and the fellowship, and we really enjoy that. Because not enough of us realize that this is a war, an attack on our people. As you can see by the news lately and how many officer-involved shootings there have been, you know, is very troubling, very upsetting. But tonight, we're here to talk about us. And actually, the topic is girl fighting. Mm. Yes, and so as you can see, we have some special guests. All our guests are special. So we're just going to allow them to introduce themselves for those that don't know. So let me start with you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kelly Dillon.
The mics are okay. Just keep talking. It's been going in and out. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your background.
I am a domestic violence educator and facilitator. I've been working in the field of domestic violence for the last 10 years now. I also try to facilitate and bring a training when it comes to the connection between gang violence and domestic violence in the cycle that goes from the home to the streets and streets to the home. I'm also the co-chair of the Empowerment Congress of the Southeast. So one, trying to bring resources, education, community programs and stuff to the Southeast area of L.A. So that's what I've been working on.
All right. Welcome. Because you have a little backstory, and we're going to let you manage to handle that. But share what you're willing to share. And our special guest tonight.
Oh, goodness. I feel so awkward sitting on this side. But I'm Felicia Morris, a.k.a. The Poetess. Longtime radio personality and now radio studio owner. Always been involved in the community on the radio side.
Yes.
And happy to be in the community. 28-year radio vet. And
it's in your gender, your genes, your daddy. I mean, you know, I don't think you could have stayed out of this if you tried.
I think this was destined.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah,
too.
My dad is a 55-year vet radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Longtime radio. Johnny Morris.
Johnny Morris, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so we're so happy that you're a guest tonight.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, you know, it's not a good subject, but we're glad you're here to discuss it because it's real serious. Now, let's just get into why we scheduled this show. Would you like to talk about what led up to this, the event?
Probably about a month or so ago, one of our guests here was jumped in the alley right in back of the building here. She was coming in, turning in the gate. The gate was about to open, and then a car from the opposite direction, a car full of girls, probably around the same age, were going the opposite direction. They were trying to move forward, but apparently my guest, her car was blocking. Mm-hmm. And so the girls got out, and I'm not sure if my guest got out of her car or if she was pulled out of the car, but either case, the girls got out of the car and they jumped her. Mm-hmm. Her mother was in the car with her, and they also, the mother got out of the car to help her daughter, and it just turned into a little melee.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
a fight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. an all-out fight. Mm-hmm. And I arrived afterwards when the girls had left already, and my guest was bloodied up, mm-hmm. beat up pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And
had to go to the hospital.
She's pregnant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
The police got involved. They got the license plate. And, there's our girl. Get a chair. Because you can't sit in my lap, honey.
So watch the cables. Watch the cables on the floor.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, so she was attacked. And so I called the chief in this bureau. Mm-hmm. And so we're still waiting to, find out if they got the girls, because we did get the license plates and it was caught on video. So.
Yes. See, that's the good thing now is the video evidence that we're finding. Hi, sweetie. The video is really helping us quite a bit. And we really did come to talk about girl fighting, not police abuse tonight, though, we really could talk about both. But I ask ladies that have been through the ruckus, been through some wars, survivors, to come, let's have this honest discussion. Because what I found not only troubling about that assault, that was just a straight out assault. Come on in closer.
No, you come in closer.
Oh, okay. Slide over,
there
huh?
you go.
And be friendly, okay?
There we go.
It was a very serious attack. And what I've seen all over Facebook lately is girls fighting. I mean, they just go at it. It's a very...
The videos go viral?
Yes, they go viral all over Facebook. And you see everybody standing around videotaping it, cheering and egging. And it's like a boxing match. People want to see it, like a sporting event. And so...
Some people do it just to be on World Star, too. Yeah. It's popular... website.
Well, for us that have the kind of problems that we've had with law enforcement, with just trying to survive in this society, in this country, us fighting each other is not helping us at all. And the problem, I want to be real clear about this, the men that, Lamont, I'm going to ask you about this, the men that condone this don't understand that these are our future mothers. They're going to be the mothers of our children. They're going to raise the next generations, okay? And what are they prepared to teach? What are they prepared to what kind of parents are they going to be? What are they going to teach their daughters that, just fighting women that look like them is the goal?
But isn't it sort of a rites of passage? I mean, because I almost find it, friends that I have that have never had a fight, I find that kind of surprising. I feel like we at least have one fight growing up, whether it's in elementary school. It doesn't necessarily have to be a bullying situation. You just fight your kids. So it's almost, I thought was sort of a rites of passage, but nowadays it just seems like it's more, the attacks are more vicious, but...
It's more of a publicity stunt now. They do it just for show, and it could be nothing, nothing as big as just somebody says something the wrong way to them, from what I see. So I don't condone it, but...
But you see an awful lot of guys out there watching it.
That's true.
Look,
but that's
you watch Jerry Springer any day, and when those girls get to fighting, the men just hoop and holler, and it's like, oh, this is a circus, and I'm glad I'm here.
That's true.
It's not really fair, Marcus, to make you answer for all the men, because it is a woman's issue. And I'm very serious about this. We are the future mothers. We are the women of the village that are supposed to protect and raise the children. And if we're out here fighting with each other, what kind of village are we living in? Mm. That's really the reality. And that's really what I want to talk about, because that was an assault. Your guest coming in to do her work, do her business, to be confronted in a darn alley trying to get to work by just women coming down the opposite direction. And they felt that it was okay for them to jump her and jump her mother. See, there's something wrong in that thinking, something absolutely wrong in that spirit. And trust me, I want them arrested. I want them arrested, and I want them to know that they deserve to be arrested for that, because that is assault and battery, and that is a criminal charge. And as grown women, these weren't children. You know, I had fights when I was 13, too.
Well, they were driving, so they had to be, well, they could have been 16, but they looked like they might have been in their early 20s.
Yeah. Well, that's the peer group that seems to be having the problem. Who wants to get in this conversation? Well, you're the latecomer. You haven't introduced yourself, so here, share my mic.
Oh, my name is Petra Fontella, a member of Second Call.
And you want to tell us a little bit about your backstory?
Well, I served 12 years in prison for bank robbery, assault, possession of firearms, GTA, felony evasion.
You was just out there, girl.
I was just out there.
And you know what? Tell him you came from a good home.
I did. Mm-hmm. Huxtable home.
Yes. Yes. But
Huxtable home.
The amazing thing is that the streets were more appealing.
Absolutely. They tried. I'm the only girl out of five kids. They tried to shelter me from the streets. So whenever I broke away, I was fascinated. So I jumped in here first. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I was good at being dysfunctional.
Good at being dysfunctional. Well, you know. And you got to speak in the mic, because we're recording this for posterity. So your children and your grandchildren will be able to hear you.
No grandkids. I ain't ready for that.
Eventually. But you met Skip.
Yes.
Teaching anger management. Skip teaches anger management in the prisons on Wednesdays. That's his normal role. And isn't that where you met?
No, I met Skip on the streets.
Oh, you did? Oh,
he's okay. Actually friends with my son's father, so I didn't get introduced to Second Call in prison.
Okay.
Got introduced to it outside.
So you have a son.
I do.
So it's likely you're going to have grandchildren.
Eventually. Not right now. Not right
now. I know you're not trying to rush him looking. You want him to be straight in his choices of babies' mothers. But do we have that phone call?
Do we have a call? No.
Okay. Well, let's keep discussing this, because that's why I asked you ladies to come and join us tonight, to see if we can get some kind of understanding here about what it is we're doing that's messing up. You know, we discussed last week how things changed for our community when the Panthers picked up the guns and used the Constitution in a legal way to bear arms. And they were annihilated. They were annihilated. And so we got guns, all right, but look at what we've been doing with those guns. And now we have our women caught up, fighting in the street, fighting online, World Star. I mean, did they get paid for that?
Some of them do if they get, like, so many videos. I mean, yeah, so many views. So, yeah, WorldStar does pay, I think, some people for videos.
To the poster, but not the girls fighting.
No.
Yeah. So they're just free entertainment. Yeah.
The reason why, can I get in
Please.
A little bit?
Of course.
Okay, so the reason why I believe that a lot of the women, why it's so prevalent in social media and everybody wants to be.
Sorry, I'm still playing producer.
and everybody wants to be Insta famous, whether if it's World Star, Instagram, YouTube, or whatsoever, is the fact that the women aren't prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
They are not prosecuted with it being a crime. Where is it that most men, you'll catch a couple fights with the guys online, but you're not going to catch it with the guys as much as you are with the girls. Number one, most women do not have the criminal background on them that men do. So men is not going to do anything in the limelight anyway. Everything is going to be taken care of behind the scenes. But with women, 9 times out of 10, the fights that's happening is not gang fights, although it may be two different people from gang, different gang or community territories or tribes or sororities or cheerleadings. And the thing about it is that when I got hit to about 7 years ago to the girl fights that's going on World Star, most of the fights that my niece was showing me was from white girls fighting in Woodland Hills.
They fight too.
Yeah, they fight too. And that's where most of the fights, and it was it was vicious, especially the cheerleaders, the sororities and stuff like that. It was just as vicious as the girls that's in the urban communities or in my community fighting either over guys, either over their partners, their same-sex partners, or either gang issues.
Let me ask this way, because in the gang arena, the girls don't really face each other like that and square up. They don't really do that. This is personal. It's hormonal. It's boyfriend issues. You're looking at my man. You know.
That's not necessarily true. Let me just say this. I feel like it's not necessarily true, right? The reason why I feel like it's not necessarily true is because when I was in junior high school, I started gangbanging at 9. Mm-hmm. By the time I was in junior high, I didn't have a lot of fights in elementary. I just was kind of like, you know, feeling myself at that time. But by the time I got to elementary, I remember I was a part of a Crips, right? But I remember it was this girl. She was a blood off the east side, and she was real like cocky with it. And so for me and a few other people, now, as I remember growing up at that time, is that I didn't like the fact that she was cocky. I feel like she was like being like, oh, this is what I am. So it, to me, I banged on her. Mm-hmm. It didn't have nothing to do with a boy. It didn't have nothing to do with her hair or none of that. It was more so like, oh, so that's, you know, which you like you. I gang banged on her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so, and I began to press a line on her. What I'm seeing now is that now, since there has been so much female, since the gang activity from the 80s is co-ed, right? Female and male.
Right.
Now, we talking about third or fourth generations of females that have been in the gangs along with the men, right? We have now adapted the same mentality, the same aggression, the same violence, the same rules, the same protocol as the men have, right?
Yes.
And so therefore, I feel like, or I think that what we're seeing is females now pressing a line because of the violence against them, violence against women. You got to understand is that.
But you know what? I hear what you're saying here. But what I don't see is the girls banging against each other. You in the Crips, she's in the Bloods. Y'all not going to face each other that way. You may shoot.
You may set up
for killing.
She just said she banged on another girl.
Let me just say this. Like you're supposed to say, my homegirls do. Mm-hmm. I know Petra homegirls do.
Okay. No, they do.
You know what I'm saying?
So
my homegirls see something go on Facebook. Let me just say, because people don't understand, especially mothers and older generation don't understand not just the talking mess on Facebook, but also the written text of banging in Facebook. Right. So like when my homegirls, they'll say something, they might put a K behind a particular letter. Okay, then somebody that's friends with, because everybody is friends with everybody, it's 500 friends on Facebook, and they go to every school and from every hood. So what happens is I noticed that the Facebook banging starts from the fact that they'll see that it's a K or some crossed out, whatever, but it's a K behind a particular letter. And that K behind a particular letter is what they begin to say, oh, you know, then they hey, so what's up? That's how you feel? F this, F that. So that's where it starts.
It starts a pattern.
It starts a pattern. And so it don't have nothing to do with anything. It's like, you know, for the most part, the the women that I'm in different communities in which I deal with are facing each other. They all on what you see on social media, a world star, is a setup that's already been in the works. Oh, we finna see y'all after school.
So
you got the cowards in the back, the homegirls that probably instigated it, mm-hmm. or the girls that actually instigated it. That's in the back with the cameras. You done got the boyfriends of the girls that had found out about it with their cameras. You feel me? Now, because I'm on camera, I have to prove myself. So remember how it was back in the day, like you say, where we would take it to after the streets, at the playground, by the park, on the tree, by the monkey bars. And then that situation where if you won, then your community fame would go out. Oh, don't mess with Petra.
Yeah, because we used to have king and queens of the school.
Exactly.
And those king and queens of the school were the toughest ones in the school. They mm-hmm. were like the ones that everybody was kind of scared of. Mm-hmm. So, the only way you beat the king or the queen, become the king or the queen of the school, is that you beat that person that's in there.
You got to take their title.
So that's why I say it's sort of a rites of passage. I think it's very rare that you can really get through school without having a fight. And that's why I be seeing people, you ain't never had not one fight in your life. I mean, so
It is.
We just didn't have cameras back then, or cell phones.
And it is a rite of passage. You're absolutely right about that. So what?
And it's about respect.
It's about respect.
So if I beat you, you're gonna respect me. Mm-hmm. Like the first fight I had, it was because I was light skinned. I had long hair. Had no issues, no arguments, no nothing. Oh, she thinks she's cute. No, you think I'm cute. But at the end of the day, okay, you think because I'm light skinned, I'm a punk. So I got to show you.
Mm. That's the other thing, the dark and light skin thing.
And there are a lot of issues. Yeah, there are a lot of issues with women. It's not just skin color. It's not just Becky with the good hair.
Yeah, it's not
just about my man. Okay, look, you're looking at my man.
I've had fights over guys.
I'm going to take your eyes out.
I think that's the leading cause of the fight. Me growing up is fighting over guys.
Fighting over guys.
I mean, I've been bullied like a gang of... got something in your eye?
No, something is sparking my allergies. I don't know what it is, but it's got my eye itching. Go ahead.
You were saying?
But I was saying I think the majority of the fights that I had growing up was pretty much over guys.
Guys.
Yeah.
But why is that, though? Why do women – this is just a question for me. I'm not speaking for men, nothing, you know. Why is it that ego – between friends, you know, about a man could come in between something that's supposed to be so sacred, you know?
Speaking the mic.
I am.
It's
kind of low. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Good.
Yeah.
No, seriously, like, why is it that ego could come between friendships?
Ego mess up a lot of things.
Yeah. When it comes to men, I mean, you know?
I don't think that. Well, I'm always
African. Good.
I don't agree with that. I don't know. That.
Yeah. When I had a fight over a man, it wasn't so much over that man. The fact that you slept with my friend, okay, you're supposed to be my friend.
Yeah.
You disrespected me and you disrespected my friendship. It ain't even about that man no more. It's about the fact that you disrespected me.
Right.
And then in my situation, it was in my house. So then you disrespected my household on top of that. So,
and you see that on Jerry Springer every
day.
I'm sorry.
So screw that man. You disrespecting me.
It's always about a guy.
So now I got to give it to you.
Right. I think the reason why the women hold each other to a higher standard instead of like, you know, we hear people say, you should go after that man. He was wrong. But I think as women, we see each other as like, you a woman. You supposed to have more integrity in that. You supposed to have a little bit more like classed in that, so you less than a woman, you feel me? Because it's not supposed to be in our nature to harm. It's in our nature to love and care and
but
everything.
It's
like that.
A new day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
On Jerry, what did they say? I'm 18 and I just want to have fun. I don't care about you. I don't care about his kids. I only care about what he and I do.
Why you think
and
that
see,
is?
And see, that's when they get slapped and get the hair
pulled. Why do you think that is, Miss Lita? Why do you think that you said it's a new day?
Yeah.
They don't care. Why do you think that is?
Because there are not enough men to go around.
I think that in terms of the fighting, in terms of how brutal it's gotten, is because a lot of our kids have become desensitized because it's just violence is everywhere from video games to the music to television in their neighborhoods, on their blocks. So I think when I was growing up, it wasn't as violent, and kids didn't have as much access to things that they have now. So I think that a lot of our kids have become desensitized to violence and hurting each other.
And I think also it has been, over the years, a devalue of women, period.
Mm.
And after so many years of feeling like we're just to be used or abused or, you know, neglected, abandoned, hurt, or whatever the situation.
We're ratchet now, and we're strawberries, and we're hood rats. We have been renamed by the men in our music.
Okay? All men, all those words don't come from men.
I know, not from you, baby.
I was going to say, do you feel like some
grandmama said ratchet?
You know, all those don't come from us.
Do you feel like some of the stereotypes are perpetrated because they always say women are catty, women don't get along, women can't, you know, like you can see a lot of the R&B groups and singers, they break up because the women can't, you know, get along. Because I remember, like, I was so pro-guys that I didn't really feel like a sisterhood. But it was a man who taught me why. You mean you would do something for me before you help your sister? Like, you know. And so he started giving me books that were written by women and their struggles and stuff like that. So it changed my whole mentality about sisterhood and being down with sisters and working with them and not hating on them and being jealous and envious. But in the beginning, I didn't really, not that I hated on my fellow sister, but I didn't really, I was more about my dude than being in any kind of sisterhood.
Right. I understand that. I just, things have changed. And I think the thing that's bothering me is the viraling. You know, the promoting of this.
The sharing.
Sharing. And you want to get so many hits. You want everybody to see you beat that girl. And, you know, it's a new phenomena that didn't raise me. That wasn't in my village. We had fights. I had fights in the sixth grade and junior high school. But we became friends. You know,
that's how it was with me. Yeah. When we had fights, we ended up friends. Mm-hmm. You know, people move on my street. You know, whether I get beat up, they get beat up, whatever. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, next week, we went into the park together. So,
there it is.
You know, it's not really, I think, you know, I don't think women do that much. You know, when they fight, it's just over. I don't want to deal with her no more. You know, that's not my friend, you know. So get away from me, stay away from me. That's it. But, you know, sometimes it happens that way. But I know when I was growing up, you know, it was more of, you know, we fight, then, you know, we go right back to it the next week, even if we fight again. You know, but nobody else can't fight you. You know, that was more of what was going on. It wasn't nothing. We just fought just to be fighting.
The only man on the panel today, and I ask you to represent for the men, Marcus. Tell us how the men feel about.
Well, I don't.
I think
like
they
I don't. Me myself, I could go without y'all. I don't like the arguments. You know, I don't argue myself. So.
Right.
Guys be giving, just be holding your purse so you can fight.
Yeah, huh?
So.
I mean, but you know, I will be honest. There are some, you know, it's entertainment. Like, I won't say that I never watched it. You know, I when I was in school, it was more of, and I'm being honest, you know, it was more of, you know, who going to snatch a shirt off first?
Yeah.
You know, being honest.
Yeah,
so,
no, that's real.
It was, that's all it was for the men back then. But nowadays, they just film stuff just to be filming it, you know, because like you said,
okay,
you know,
let me ask it this way.
Uh-oh, here we go.
If it was your girl or your daughter?
No, I ain't going to let my daughter or my girl do it.
Okay.
I'll try my best to get in the middle because I don't hit women, so I'll try my best to.
I don't see no grown man,
you know,
allowing that to happen.
See, now, with my daughter, it's a different story, you know.
See, it's a different standard.
Nobody can
if it's
do
a
nothing.
Stranger or somebody else's business, you become the observer.
Right.
But when it's personal, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
but that goes for anything,
happen.
Though. Like, even with people whose families go to prison, you know, nobody cares unless it's their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So if you see this fight, this not my friend, I'm going to just watch. You know, if this my sister, my cousin, somebody like that, I ain't going to let it happen. You know, it's clear. You know what I'm saying? That's my folks. So, you know, you're going to leave them alone or we going to have a problem. So, I mean, it's not really – when you think about it in the sense of people, you know, not just watching it, you know, most of the time, like you said, it's entertainment. You know, and other times it's just people, you know, trying to – it's publicity. You know, they trying to get on Instagram and Facebook and all that is means more to most people than anything. You know, they can be on Facebook Live all day long.
They want to be seen.
And it's fun. Yeah, they want to be seen for
everybody's
something.
Everybody's getting 15 minutes.
Yeah, huh? They want their fame.
Okay. Well, we're heading into break. I'm not sure how quickly, but that was a fast half hour. And we're going to come back and get some words out of you, too.
Okay.
Got to talk on this, you know. And people can't see your head move.
Yeah, I know.
Like a river flowing free and through and within the sea. Free to be sure of what I am and who I need not be. Free from my worries, worries prey on oneself's troubled mind. Freer than the clock hands ticking away the time. Freer than the meaning of free that man defines. Life running through me till I feel my father, God has called me, having nothing but possessing wishes more than all, and I am free to be nowhere.
God bless you, community, family. Welcome to Gang Talk. Welcome back, because while we was on break, we was having some lively conversation. So let's just keep that going. Poetess, you would ask a question?
Yeah, I said, as a parent, as a mother, and you have a daughter that's out there bullying, how do you handle your daughter? Or if you're the parent of a child that's being bullied by another female, I mean, how do you take it? And some, like we were talking, some of the mothers getting scraps with some of these young girls. So, I mean, how do you handle a situation? Do you call authorities in the school? Because I remember one time I got ran out of a school. I ain't gonna lie. Mm-hmm. A gang of girls was like waiting at the bus stop for me every day, waiting to jump me at school and shit. I was scared as hell. So what do you do? I had to go to another school because these girls were constantly bullying me.
Wow. So, and things have changed about that bullying, but you had a very interesting position.
What you
about
laughing
this?
At? Was you one of them girls?
No, I'm laughing because I was in the same similar situation when I was going to Washington. Me and my she wasn't my sister-in-law at the time. She's my sister-in-law now. Mm-hmm. But I got them girls out of the Imperial Courts. They was going to Washington with me, so they jumped me.
Okay.
And they was kind of trying to harass me, trying to press a line on me because it was just me and her. It was like about 6-7 of them. And they jumped us like a couple times at the bus stop and over there in front of Southwest College. So it took a, and I'm going to tell you what we did. I ain't gonna tell you that's what my response would be today, but what we did was it took us like a year or so. We hit them one by one. We took them down one by one. We caught them at nail shops.
I didn't have a squad.
We caught them at food for less.
Y'all not always gonna be together. Yeah.
We got them like fight together every day. Yeah, exactly. By the time we caught up to some, they was 8 months pregnant.
Oh wow!
And let me just say this:
I got beat up.
I was just gonna say this. I gotta be honest with you because we talk. You want to have a real talk. You want to talk about the violence. Yeah. You want to talk about what's going on inside of women who have the potential to be violent. It didn't matter that you was pregnant. You and your baby got it too. And like you said before, you said that, you know, what happens when the mama, if you bring your mama to a fight, if your mama bold enough to come to the fight and she talking, your mama gonna get it too. I mean, this is the real conversation. I'm speaking, and Petra, I know Petra,
back then it was from 8 to 80. If it's going down and you step on the scene, you going to get it. Your baby throw a bottle at me, I'm liable to slap the baby on the diaper. I'm just saying. There was no respect.
And I'm going to just say this. As a young woman who was angry and violent and full of rage, the reason being is because I was numb. You talk about a desensitized feeling of humanity or whatever, towards humanity. Right. I was angry. I was numb. I was careless because I felt in certain areas of my life from, you know, household situations, external situations in the hood, no one cared for me. Right. No one had consideration for me. They didn't stop what they did to me. So at that point, you know, like some people become cowards, or they become afraid, or, you know, fear enters them. And some people, like the movie The Making of a Monster, repetitive things that are happening can create a monster.
It's like backing a cat into a wall.
Exactly. And so what happens is that
turns into the abuser.
Exactly. Yeah. Hurt people. And so when I look at, like, when you were talking about the girls that jumped the young lady and the mom in the alley, right, that was coming here, you said they deserve to be prosecuted, right? I once again, I don't agree. Wait a minute. But no, the reason why I don't agree is because I don't want to see them go from one hostile environment to another hostile environment. I would rather see some incentives like Skip's class, or us having a sister, like a gender sensitivity for women, not a gender sensitivity for him, so he can know how to treat and be more compassionate or understanding to women's issue. Women now have to be reintroduced into their own compassion and own sensitivity towards each other. We no longer have that love for one another.
That's the problem. And that's really the essence of this conversation. You see, because you was out there in the world, angry, had a right to be angry because everybody around you was angry and y'all was fighting each other. Come on now. See, and it cost you, and it cost you, and it cost you. It cost us. And so this is our chance to try to get some cohesiveness back among our people. Now, the ladies you're talking about, I say prosecute because they're not going to come willingly. So to get their attention, we got to get them in our control first to get them to sit down and have the conversation like we're having now. Why would you beat these women up in the alley? What did they do to you? Why did they deserve the beat down? It wasn't on World Star.
But it was just usually a mugging. It's usually a deeper issue. And sending them to prison isn't necessarily going to solve that issue. Because who they going to talk to in there? Nobody in prison cares.
You going to go talk to them.
I'm not there no more.
But
there was nobody in there to talk to me. I went to prison angry.
Yes.
I was angry.
Yeah.
And the first person that walked past my cell, if I didn't like the way you looked at my window, if I didn't like the way you said what you said, then guess what? Yeah. I'm in prison doing the same thing I was doing on the streets. So the problem still wasn't solved.
It's really no different behind the walls at all. It's just a bunch of people, you know, surrounded by a gate.
It's actually worse behind the walls.
Yes, you stuck there, you know. You can't move. You can't go home at night.
The bad thing about this conversation is so many of us are behind the wall. Okay, and the question is, how do we get behind the wall? What is the motivation to get behind the wall? And who are we going to be when we come out? You see, so you're the encouragement for those that may be heading in. Mm-hmm. These women are heading down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Something's going to catch up with them, and this fight doesn't catch them. Something they're going to do down the line, one of them.
And the thing was, the young ladies were driving a nice car. They were dressed nice. It was just like, why would y'all just do that?
Yeah.
And then they came back looking for earring, I guess, they lost during the fight. And I was just like, wow, why? Y'all look like y'all was getting ready to go to the beach or something, you know?
My thought, when you're explaining the story, my thought was, what was the response of the daughter and the mother that happened to? Because I want to know, because if this is my everyday lifestyle, then it's certain things that trigger me, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was telling somebody else, is that like, if you're talking to me and I'm talking to you, right? If I'm talking to him, I'm just say him, he's a guy, and I start going like this. That's going to trigger something inside of you, and you finna get a whole nother response. You feel me? As opposed to I'm saying, so why did you do it? But if I'm going like this, like, why did you do that?
Yeah, you're already expecting it.
It's something that is, so therefore, it's going to trigger something. You feel me? It's more to this.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We have to admit.
That's why I said, I don't know if she got out of the car and was like, what, bitch? Or, you know, I don't know if she didn't react to them. I don't know. The full thing, but she could have. Matter. She could have got out the car and said, you see me getting out the gate or whatever. You know, I'm trying to move in, whatever. Right. So it could have been, like she said, some kind of trigger that started it because.
Right.
Yeah, because it would.
And what made you open the door?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to be honest.
I see a car full of girls coming at me. I'm rolling up.
I mean, but that's just like if you walk up on somebody and it's like, where are you from? You have to be prepared for that response, and it's probably going to be something that you don't want to hear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then what are you going to do after that?
Yeah. So are you prepared to know what you're going to do after
that? And if you're not prepared to push that line and move forward, then just keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing. Roll your window up and drive away.
You ain't about that life, keep it pushing.
So that's the recommendation is keep the window up and your mouth shut. Okay.
Because most of the time it is about disrespect. Somebody might say something. I mean, And no disrespect, but the word bitch is strong.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? So when and this is my opinion, seriously, when I hear a woman call another woman a bitch, I'm already ready for the first fist. You know, because most of the time it's about why, you know, from you know, my life growing up, every time I saw that, it was a fight coming. So, you know, I'm already ready for it, but at the same time trying to figure a way to, you know, calm all the whole situation. But it's still, when women hear that word most of the time, it's like everything else go out the window. You know, earrings start to come off.
But what happens when you calling your homegirl a bitch? Like, just, hey, bitch, you know.
Me, I don't, like, really, my grandma taught me
I never was cool with that.
I
was never cool with my friends referring to me as a bitch, even if they were playing.
Nobody called my mother a bitch.
I get slapped in my mouth by my grandma, so I can't.
Nobody called the women of my mother's generation a bitch. And black women didn't address each other that way because we were holding down the village. Okay, we were holding down the village. Now they have wrecked our village and made us an enemy to each other. Have our mothers, our future mothers,
and women. Where do you think it went wrong, Sister Lita?
Oh, man.
When Kelly asked that a little bit earlier. What do you think, what made it change?
Crack. Mm. I'm going to just be straight up. I ain't going to lie. Look, better I should shut my mouth and lie. Look, I don't usually use the word that blunt because it will clear a room. Mm. Once I say crack, people will just move away from you. So what I call it is a virus. A virus that swept over our community, robbed our homes of our mothers, robbed our homes of our purpose, gave a misdirection
and
about
our crack addicted.
Look at all of that. Look at the impact. So do we have a right to be angry? Yes. Angry at each other? No. Hmm. No. But the Panthers picked up the guns. They gave us guns, all right, but what did we do with them? We killed ourselves.
Yep, turned them. That's after they became illegal, though. Because when the Panthers had it, they was fighting for the community. It was protection.
Yes.
But when the white folks saw how powerful the Panthers were walking up in federal buildings with guns, they outlawed them. And then when they outlawed them, that's when
we got black
start
market.
Getting more of them. Mm-hmm.
We got crack and black market weapons.
You know, when you were talking for the last 20 minutes or so, what keeps ringing in my head is that song, Living in the World of Ghetto Life. Everyone seems so uptight. Mm. Remember, you know,
yeah,
that,
from
that,
Sparkle.
From Sparkle, yeah. Right? But that verse is ringing in my head, and it's the ghetto life, mm-hmm. the life of poverty. Poverty not just financially, but poverty in spirit, in self-esteem, just that poverty ghetto mindset and living. And what happens is when you have couples that, you know, living that ghetto life and they fighting each other and he calling her a B and these things are happening, it gets to a point when you begin to accept this is how it's going to be.
Yeah. Right.
Because she says in the end, nothing's wrong. It's all right with my man. Even though she was talking about the time when they was fighting and using heroin and everything else like that, but that was the ghetto world she was living in. Hmm. And she said, it's all right with me. She had accepted it ain't going to get no better than this.
So
when you start, when a woman believes it's not going to get no better than this, and it's about three or four of us that feel like it ain't going to get no better than this, I could be like, oh, girl, you know how it is, B, whatever, and we are right with that.
So that dysfunction becomes normal.
It becomes normal. Us. It becomes a way of life.
So it's like, if I don't love and respect myself, then I'm not going to love and respect anybody else.
Exactly.
And you're not going to let nobody else love and respect you.
Exactly. And then people tend to demand that love and respect, but if you don't have it within yourself, then you can't expect other people to love and respect you either. Mm-hmm. So I think as women, we need to learn to love ourselves first.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like the sisterhood used to be. You know, we held the village down. Mm-hmm. You see, because our men then, as they are now, were the biggest targets in our community, and everybody was looking to take him out. See, so we protected the children while he's out there trying to find a way to be the man in our community, be the man for our women, be the man for our children, and he's always been at risk and in jeopardy. The thing that has changed is the sisterhood is now fractured. And we don't get along anymore like we did. And when you ask about how we're going to train our kids for this next generation, what are we going to tell them about their self-esteem? How are we going to handle that for them? Because we need to tell them something.
We don't trust each other anymore.
Mm. Yeah,
mind you, it just say back in the day in the 60s, or I'm going to say all my aunties and my mama and my grandmama, everybody got their man and been with their man for 40, 50 years, right? Mm. But if you ain't got a man and you ain't got a man and I ain't got a man and we all got 3 to 4 kids between us and this one man is doing for you, then what happens is because of the need, because of the thirst is real, yeah. I'm trying to feed my children too and things is going low, I'm going to compromise myself because I know he getting money, she's straight, even though that's my friend. But yet and still, I want a piece of that, too. I want my kids to eat that, too. My kids is begging me for the shoes, too, and I can't do it. So I'm going to compromise myself, to compromise my friendship and my sisterhood with my sister in order to get that piece of love or financial help and stability. And for that reason, because we have been left without the provision, we've been left to not have that protection and that covering over us that we needed, we have fought. Now we're fighting for these men, and it's caused us to become enemies to one another.
That's a
very good point. You want to say something? Because you know what, I've been thinking very seriously, because this is a very real question. If your man has 4 kids, you know, he's got 4 kids, he's got 2 mothers, why would you get pregnant Okay, that's a very real question.
Is he a good daddy?
Okay, but wait a minute, wait a minute.
He's fine.
Okay. In some cases, okay,
I love him.
He's not a good daddy.
Yeah, he's some about him.
He look good.
Some men got four kids and don't take care of those four kids. Okay. So why do I want to be the fifth?
There it
baby
is.
Mama?
But look, like, if he's a good guy and you love him like that, can you accept that now you are moving into his family? He has a family, and you've just now become a member of it mm-hmm. with your child. Mm-hmm. So sister's been advocating polygamy, black polygamy. Just for the, I'm serious, for the sake of our children, let him be daddy to
a
all
of a lot
of
original
them.
Cultures were like that in our
yes.
homeland anyway.
Yes.
So, I mean, to me, I don't see anything wrong with it as long as all parties agree and
that's
a man
it.
Is able to provide for
that's what the Quran
the additional
that's
family.
If a man
you know
is able to.
He's
yeah.
going to have one baby's mother that wants it all. One of the mothers is not going to cooperate. Well, come on now. So that's why I'm saying polygamy.
Yeah, because we've been so like conditioned to Western culture that of course we're not going to accept it. We're living in a some of us are living in a fantasy that they want that one man to be ours and only ours. When in reality, he's not just yours. He's whoever else he's sleeping around with or whatever. So,
but anyway, why are y'all being so mean to the men?
What's mean
not
about
enough
it?
Of you to
it's
go
not
around.
Mean.
I understand.
It's not about being mean. No. There's not enough of you to go around. Okay.
But
in Los Angeles, women outnumber you 30-1, son.
Well, that's true.
30-1.
The only issue with that, like if the man is going to have this woman and that woman and that woman, if you put it on the table, then let the women choose
right.
whether or not they're okay with that situation.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Now, if you're telling me it's just me mm-hmm. and you're lying and you got 3, 4, or 5, then we have a problem.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So if I'm going to be okay with being number 3 or 4 or 5, then I'm okay with that.
Right.
But in my case, I'm not, clearly.
Right.
But so if you're lying to me and you're taking away my choice,
that's
a whole nother problem.
That's the problem.
And 9 times out of 10, most women will accept the fact that you're seeing other women.
Mm-hmm. Speak for self.
No. I know. I'm not saying that.
Let me tell you a funny story.
I just think I've seen a lot of women that go for that, that know that their man is out there with other women, whether they're cool with it or not, they're still with the guy.
Let me tell you the story. One of my very dear friends, very independent, met a man, found him handsome, wanted to date him. He told her very clearly, very honestly, I've got 5 women in my stable. Okay, this one does this, this one does this, this one, you know, and ran it down to her and asked her very clearly, so what are you going to bring to my table?
Mm.
Okay, and I couldn't be mad. I mean, I didn't like it, but he was honest with her. I've got these women here right now, and they make me happy. So if you want to join them, what are you going to contribute? And so it's a little arrogant, but it is honest. He's telling you that he's not going to be.
But most arrogant is the woman that thinks she's going to go in and change that situation.
Right, but then that's where that woman becomes bitter when she realizes you're not changing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. You knew that's what it was. So
thank you.
Deal with it.
The man tells he's got 5 women already. I mean, really? You're going to come in and change all that how?
So people are going to be true to their nature, whatever it is. So if you're coming in as number 6, then expect there to be a 7, 8, or 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going. It didn't start with you. It's not going to
end with you.
Usually,
what happens? The reason why now we kind of switching the conversation. But the reason why men don't be honest about that is because I'm not going to give you all of what you know I can give you if I have a knowledge of the fact that there is
mm-hmm.
others.
Mm-hmm.
Because I might choose to still deal with you, but you ain't finna get all the kale.
Right.
You ain't finna get all the spoiling and you not finna get
the
none
trimmings.
Nah, you ain't finna get all of that. I'm gonna call you like you call me because you're gonna have a special need too.
Yeah.
And a lot of times men don't want that. They want to be the total possession of this
right.
one woman because it's that stigma that a man can have the 5. But the woman can't. You feel me?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. No. But in some places, Africa is.
Okay. Let's not go too far because we're right here in the community trying to work right here on the block. Okay.
I'm trying to be the queen of that tribe.
You know what?
we need that tribe right here, right here. We don't
Reach
have to go
long.
No further. Just treat it right here. Because we deserve that, and we deserve to live in peace, and we deserve to have an understanding, and we have a right to be angry about some things. But what we owe ourselves is the honesty. Mm-hmm. We got to be honest with each other. You know, like our girl's son, Becky with the good hair, I'm a sock you up. And what did she tell you?
Petra with the good hair.
Don't be mad at me.
I know, girl.
Ain't my fault my daddy had Filipino. I'm
right.
Just,
you know. Look, if you were born in America, your heritage is mixed. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes us a family.
Mm-hmm. So what do we, what solutions do you think we could come up with to build better sisterhoods in our neighborhoods? I know that a lot, you guys mentor young women. I mean, that helps. I think that, but what are some of the solutions, I mean, for us?
You know what? I have a colleague by the name of Candy Lewis. She goes into like Locke High School, the charter schools, Animal Watch and stuff like that. And she begins to talk about healthy relationships, anti-bullying, how to, encouraging those things. It has to come. Usually they allow you to go into high school before they let you go into junior high. But junior high is when it cracks off.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you're trying to find your identity, right? Yes. So it's like if we can get some real life skill classes that's customized to the culture and the environment of that school to talk about conflict resolution, alternative to violence, to I have this idea. I don't know, somebody probably going to steal it because they can get it. They probably can get it done before I do. Where is it at? Instead of suspending the children for the fights that are happening on or around or off campus, that they will be, that they have to complete like a class every Friday.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To talk about conflict resolutions, talk about
something like detention.
Like a detention, but yet it's still but like a group, you know what I'm saying? And have real people.
There was a story in the news this week about a school that the way that they give the students detention is they make them meditate.
Mm.
They bring them in a room and it's a meditation that they do to calm the student.
That may work in somebody's neighborhood, but we need conversation.
I'm not closing my eyes when I know that you have good hair that I just whooped on over there.
Yeah,
maybe like,
angry.
Don't wait till she close her eyes.
Yeah. Well, just wait. When you're angry like that, you need to be in that special class where you can do that conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. Yes. And meditation just isn't enough.
You got to be a certain maturity, too, to meditate. That's, that's not easy to do.
Junior high school, them kids not going to sit
still. They thinking about wait till I see her
and
after school.
let me out of here.
Yeah, right. And we need to teach them to love and respect themselves.
We need to teach them respect first.
And once they learn that, it's like then they can teach other people how to treat them.
Yep. And I think, too, to add to that is that we have to teach them how to respect themselves when they are not being respected.
Yeah.
See, it's what you like. You telling me to love myself, but when my daddy is doing this and my mama is doing that and my brothers is treating me this way and then the homies is trying to knock me down and sexually harassing me. Everything in my world and my environment is telling me I should not be respected. And so I think that the course becomes how do I respect myself when the world isn't respecting me.
Right.
True.
This is what's so important about the sisterhood. We have to look out for each other because there's nobody looking out for us. And if we're not looking out for us and our children, then what can we expect from them?
And being an example. Sometimes if you're not, just be a good example, I think.
I agree with all of that. I just love you guys for coming in here, having these honest conversations, because this is how we're going to fix what's broken us. We have to be honest and forthright about it, not hide away from the anger, because I'm angry too. You know, the things that I've seen happen to my community have been heartbreaking. It's been frustrating, and to find the solution, I'm just so proud to be in the mix, because that's what we're trying to do is start communicating. That's the biggest thing that we lost. Respect for the way we speak to each other, the way we treat each other, the way we feel about each other. So, you know, You guys help us make a difference.
Thank you.
Are we out of time?
I think so. We're just waiting
for the
sign.
Was that 1 minute? Music. Well, Poet, are we over?
Be sure to check out Gang Talk every Thursday at this time, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on MorrisMediaLive.com. And where could everybody reach you guys if they want you to come out and speak, or if you have an organization that needs attention?
If you want to have me come out, I'm at www.backtothebasics.com, but it's spelled BACKTTBASICS.org. Backtothebasics.org.
I'm going to post that with the
show. Please, because it's okay. Kind of hard to...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a member of Second Call. So what is that?
www.secondcall.org. On Facebook.
Yeah, .org. Yes.
Okay. Well, how are we on time? That's it. Well, God bless you, community family, and thank you for listening. Thank you, guests.
Thank you.